Home Radio, WFHR 1328.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump is due to appear virtually at court in New York right now for sentencing in his hush money trial. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
There will be no jail time. There will be no probation. There will be no ankle bracelet. Really, what there will be is just a sentence that acknowledges that there was a conviction and nothing more.
Last night, the Supreme Court turned down Mr. Trump's bid to block sentencing. At least 10 people have been killed, 10,000 homes and buildings destroyed in Southern California's massive wildfires. Kimiko Nickerson's father among the victims.
He said he'll be fine. I'll be here when you guys come back. He was in his bed when I found him.
Hiring blew past expectations last month. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The economy added 256,000 jobs in December. That was much better than the 150,000 jobs that analysts had expected for the month.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he signed an executive order declaring an energy emergency in the state of Wisconsin. Winter weather around the region is to blame, as it's impacting the distribution of residential heating fuel, including heating oil and propane in the state. The Public Service Commission's Office of Energy Innovation says that multiple suppliers report challenges such as long lines at terminals and having to drive further distances to collect needed products. This executive order, number 253, will allow suppliers to get caught up from winter weather-related delays. Speaking of, the law of the month is safe winter driving. Snow, sleet, and ice all make it harder to control and stop our vehicles. From October 2023 to May 2024, winter weather contributed to more than 11,000 crashes in Wisconsin, resulting in 9 fatalities and over 2,000 injuries. Give snowplows space to work. Those drivers work long hours to clear nearly 115,000 miles of roads across Wisconsin. And the State Patrol recommends clear snow and ice from your vehicle windows, lights, roof, and hood. And snow means slow. Allow extra travel time, following distance, and reduce your speed. Avoid sudden braking and steering, and don't be overconfident with four-wheel or all-wheel drive. And always avoid using cruise control in winter weather conditions. It's a friendly reminder because we haven't seen much of it. In fact, it's been 650 days since anyone has heard the roar of snowmobiles on Wisconsin Northwoods trails. And as you might expect, the lack of snowfall is hurting the area businesses once again. After a non-existent snowmobile season last year, the Vilas County Snowmobile Alliance says that there is enough snow around most of the county for a base for trails, but it still isn't enough to open them yet. So if they pick up another half foot this weekend, which is possible, they can groom and go. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
The band is back together. It's a good Friday. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. We got some fun stuff lined up for you in a little bit. We got it's Quitter's Day, and we got three times it might actually make sense to ditch your resolution.
Oh.
So that's an interesting one. We got that. And entering 2025 clutter-free, we're talking about that. Got a couple of other fun topics for you to wrap up the show. We will have our schedule, and we'll have an update from the United Way and some of the interesting things and cool things they're doing over there. But we kick things off talking a little bit about the California fires going on out west. Certainly, our thoughts are with a lot of our friends, our people, just fellow Americans over there. I know I've got a lot of people that are displaced right now. I have a great friend out there that I cannot get in touch with. And it's been bugging me.
Yeah, that's hard.
I believe that Will and his father are okay, but I am worried right now because I have not been able to get back. Will is not on social media, of course, so I can't reach him that way either. And I'm not alone. There's so many people right now missing their loved ones, missing their pets.
Yeah. I just saw a picture last night on Facebook from someone who was a year older than me had posted, you know, one of their classmates from Lincoln here, her and her husband, their house burned yesterday. So they were, you know, somebody had organized like a GoFundMe to help them with stuff. And so they're in a hotel, but still, but like just everything gone and so quickly, you know what I mean? Like yes, they've known about the fires. I'm not saying that, but it's still, there's just no reaction time. Like if you wanted to get something out, you needed to have done it, you know, keepsakes, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's hard to see that.
Thankfully, a lot of people were evacuated before they got too bad, but not enough people did. And certainly there's so much you can take with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
My family and I dealt with kind of a fire in the top of the house and the upstairs, and just losing what we did in that, and just how that was for our family and how displaced we were from that. Even it rocked us to this day. Like it comes up every once in a while, and that was 10-15 years ago or something, maybe even longer. And that's not even a glimpse of what they're going through out
there. It's hard to
think. And do appreciate. I want to get into a great story about Jamie Lee Curtis, but real quick, I have to do something. I've been keeping up on the coverage a lot, and I follow local news quite a bit, and I certainly follow the national news, a couple of key sources in between here and there. We're friends with ABC News. We play them at the top of the hour here and everything. And I think they overall do incredible reporting and have since we were kids, since I've been alive. I go to ABC quite a bit, actually, for most of my news. But I was watching some of the coverage on this. And I know this is reporting nowadays 101. But there was a couple that were trying to get a safe that had been, and they're back there, and they're trying to get the safe out and everything because they wanted to get to it before looters might. And a reporter who does good reporting from time to time goes up to them and started asking them questions, and then continues to ask them questions and continue to film as this couple is trying to salvage the one thing. This lady wanted to find this safe because she had felt a ring, special rings in it for her, and wasn't even sure if they survived the fire.
Back off.
Just back off, man. Yeah. If you got to ask one question, fine. You want to get a little bit of like 5-10 seconds of footage.
Or even this couple is desperately trying to find blah, blah, and then...
But I believe the husband was there digging, okay? And here's this reporter just standing there and not even anything good to say. Like the lady's like talking about how devastating it is, and he's like, yeah, it's awfully devastating. Like, if you're not going to pick up a shovel and help this couple, move on, man, because that's not reporting. That's sensationalism.
Yeah.
That is sensationalism. These are people that are going through something right now. And if you, as a reporter, were going through that, how would you feel having a guy standing, a complete stranger standing there with a camera on you?
Watching you. Recording you.
Yeah. What are we doing? Yeah. That's not reporting. That's sensationalism. And that is wrong to me. We need to stand up against these things. Advertisers pay attention to this stuff. And if you say something, if you're like, hey, that ain't good reporting, hey, that's not right, or turn the channel. I want how important reporting is nowadays is incredibly important, and we need good reporting. We don't need sensationalism. That's what got us in this trouble in the first place. That's not good reporting. Leave that couple alone. Leave these people alone. Report on the situation. Get the data and the facts out there. That stuff, that's TMZ stuff. That's going through people's garbages stuff to me. That's low-hanging fruit.
I sure hope they've got to it.
They did. This was one good thing about the reporting that would have been good if they had just focused on this. This couple was doing this, and some police officers came by and was like, hey, what's going on here and everything? And can we see your ID so we know this is actually your home? And this is something that unfortunately happens a lot in destruction and everything. And I think it was very informative for people to learn that. They saw these officers come by, and guess what? When they checked the ID and all that, those officers started helping them.
Cool.
Because that's what good police officers do. That's what good. That's the. That's part of the job, even though it isn't part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
But this reporter didn't do a darn thing or anything. But it was. It was good. I think that part of it was good. But you could have edited that scene. You could have edited all that to where you just had that in there, and you're leaving this couple alone. Instead, they're just putting them out there like it was nasty. It was nasty reporting to me. I don't think that's reporting, and not the journalism that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I think that we need in this day and age. Jamie Lee Curtis is donating $1 million to the California Wildlife Relief. She says, quote, my husband and I are, and our children have pledged $1 million from our family foundation to start a fund of support to our great city and state and the great people who live and love here. I'm in communication with Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass and Senator Schiff as to where those funds need to be directed for the most impact. I think the one of the key parts of this is she's not just giving the money. Jamie Lee Curtis is a smart individual and knows, okay, I want to give money, but I want to make darn sure I know where it is going and that every penny of it is going to the right places, which is something you and I have talked about a mm-hmm. lot, Terry, and transparency with these things.
For sure.
In related news, Gene Smart is also going to be donating money to raise funds for wildlife victims and firefighters. There is quite a few celebrities doing these things. And I think that it's important to note that when we talk about celebrities and not caring about their feelings or thoughts or anything, we don't say that when this stuff comes up. And I think it's pretty noteworthy. Gene didn't name any specific award shows, but she did say that with all due respect, during Hollywood season of celebration, I hope any of the networks televising the upcoming awards will seriously consider not televising them and donating the revenue they would have garnered to the victims of the fires and the firefighters. Part of what made California, part of what helped make the West Coast, was the entertainment industry. It certainly did. And there's no getting around that. This is and the entertainment industry was made off of the backs of West Coast people, along with many individuals from around the states here, but specifically the West Coast. Here is a great opportunity for millionaires, for people making money for playing make believe, and this is my industry. Okay, for a great opportunity to show. Guess what? It's not just about us. And guess what? All you people that go to our movies, all you people that made us. Here's an opportunity to show it's not just about the glitz and glamour. No awards this year. No Oscars this year. Instead, we're going to have a fundraiser. We're going to have 3 hours of not people up there patting themselves on the back, winning awards that maybe they shouldn't have even won. And instead, we're going to take this time and donate it. And this isn't going to happen. this is not going to happen, everybody.
Newsflash, this is hypothetical.
If this happens, I will eat my words and I will happily own it.
But you know what? Even outside of just turning it into a fundraiser, just not doing it and then taking the entire cost of what it would be, just donating that.
I the only thing, and that this was the mix of this that I'm trying to do here, 100% agree with you, and I think that is exactly what Gene Smart is saying. The only reason I said that the fundraiser is because I immediately thought of, oh, those people have to fill those 3 hours now.
Oh, yeah, no, I get that. But I just was like, you know, you just think about the cost of a production like that.
You know, it would be better served to do that. You're right. Absolutely. 100% right. It was the program director in me that popped it there. But that to me would be a great way to show, again, what have I been talking about for years on these airwaves here? The greatest marketing you could do is attaching yourself to good causes and good PR and nonprofits and everything. It is marketing 101. Here you go, Hollywood. I just set it up for you. Here is the perfect way to, you want to get more people to the movies? You want to get people to be care about actors or any of this stuff? Here's a great opportunity. Years and years from now, when people think about what happened during this time, what do you want them to think? That they, oh, the Oscars still went on. Or instead of having the Oscars that year, everybody got their awards, blah, 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 big deal. What people really got was they took all the revenue from that and donated it to this cause. That's what I think would be legendary. That's something that would be more memorable than Will Smith pimp slapping Chris Rock. I think that it would be a much more noteworthy thing. And again, it ain't going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. Did like seeing this as well. Viola Davis, I think, is one of the better actors of our generation. I think she's proven that in her work, while also being not necessarily a household name. you know, like a lot of actors of her generation and stuff, where we know them by heart. I think Viola Davis is one of those actresses that you know, but you don't always know until you see her on screen.
See, and yeah, I really like her too. My first exposure to her, and now I can't even think of, I can't remember the name of the show.
I was talking too much.
No, but I just was like, wait a minute, what was the name of that show? But I loved her, and it was a murder show. Not usually my
thing.
How
to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
Yep, yeah.
There we go. That was my, you know, and I watched that. And I never would have, just based on the name. Mm-hmm. But it was on after a different show that I watched. Yeah, you know, so yeah. I was just like, oh, maybe I'll just check that out. But I loved her in that. And now I've actually watched different movies that she's in just because of her.
Mm. I love her performances as somebody that can be so powerful and so vulnerable at the same time. Well, she's really just, good.
She's so dynamic. Like, her ability to... I don't know. Pivot? I don't know. But she just was... Yeah, I like her.
As amazing as she is, as talented as she is, all of that pales in comparison to her real life story. Viola Davis shared her journey from poverty to becoming an EGOT winner. For those that don't know, that is something very few people are. Winning an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. And leaning into the magic that helped her earn the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement. Congratulations to her. It is one of the better speeches I have seen. Meryl Streep went out there to present it to her. Meryl Streep, this is a role she wanted. Meryl Streep was like, I love Viola. I want to be the one to hand her the award.
That's cool.
Yeah, that to me is the best actor there is right now in the game. And she wanted to honor you.
Yeah.
It's a really good speech. If you get a chance, I encourage you to look up Viola Davis Cecil B. DeMille speech. I think you typed that in. That's what I found it with. Look at what's new on your small and big screens this weekend. Tonight on Disney Plus and Hulu, the second season premiere of Goosebumps. I know a number of people are excited about that one, I imagine. On Stars, the 7th annual celebration of Black cinema and television. On HBO, the stand-up special Bill Maher. Is anyone else seeing this? And the, let's see here. And on Max, the streaming premiere of Look Into My Eyes, a documentary that emphasizes the human connection of how a group of physicists use their sessions to lead people through unprecedented grief and help them heal. It looks beautiful. It looks like a really well done thing. All that said, football. 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 There is football on Saturday, more football on Sunday. Football. Saturday, 4:30, kicks things off on CBS with the NFL Wildcard Weekend. The Houston versus the Los Angeles Chargers. That should be a good one. Saturday at 7 on Amazon, the NFL Wildcard Weekend, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. A slobber knocker. On Sunday at 1 o'clock, Bills taking on the Broncos. I don't know how that one's going to go, but it could be sneaky good. And then, of course, the big one around here on Sunday at 3:30 on Fox, the NFL wildcard, Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Green Bay Packers. Things will wrap up on NBC with the Buccaneers taking on the Washington Commanders. Eagles, Packers. It was a good one in week one and should be a good one this week.
And who knows?
You know what? You're so right about that.
I mean,
that.
If the defense shows up.
If it makes anybody feel any better, they're saying the same thing. They're saying even worse in Philly. Like in Philly, they are losing their minds over their team. And who knows who's going to be starting quarterbacks for either teams this week.
It should
be a good game, that's for sure. Let's go ahead. Oh, and new in theaters, new on your big screen this weekend. Not a ton of movies being released in wide release. You've still got a couple of big ones in there. Better Man as an expanded release. This is the one about the life of Robbie Williams, pop star, who depicts him as a chimpanzee. He's a, it's an interesting attempt at a bio.
Huh.
And it's gotten a lot of good reviews. It hasn't necessarily garnered the acclaim that I think they were hoping for, but it's done a lot better than I think a lot of people would have realized. And had they just done a biopic with Robbie Williams, it might have done okay. This has really helped it sell it in just doing the different approach.
Interesting.
And Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, starring Gerard Butler, O'Shea Jackson. It's a crime. It's a heist movie. And so, you know, I'll probably see it. I love heist movies. I do. There's certain movies where I like the realism. I like the reality of them. And then there's other movies where I'm like, I have no interest in real life about it. But, oh, in the cinema movies? Oh, I'm all in. I'm all in the heist movies. No interest in real life. But and real quickly.
How come you keep saying that?
I just, with my background, I got to get it out there, Terry. I did want to remind everybody as well that yesterday at noon, a bunch of you got our new edition of the WFHR newsletter. Thank you so much to everybody who has signed up for the newsletter. You can do so right now. Just go to WFHR.com, and after a second or two, a pop-up will happen if asking you if you'd like to be a part of the website and get it to your email box delivered. It is your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news. It is a great way to keep up to date on not only the things going on here, but everything going on in Central Wisconsin. We've got an amazing team working on this one. A big shout-out to everybody that works so hard on that newsletter. You can sign up and get a new edition every Thursday at noon just by going to WFHR.com, and remember, that is a great place to stream us from as well. Terry and I will be back with more show. We're coming up. We're talking Quitter's Day. That is what today is. A lot of people end up quitting their resolutions on this day. We're going to try to help you whether figure out if you should or you shouldn't. Maybe there's some that maybe you should. Oh, coming up on the morning show.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Little Simple Minds to play us in. Terry and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Let's dive into this one right now, Terry. And a lot of people, we are about 10 days into the new year. A lot of people kicked off their New Year's resolutions, and we've been talking a lot about them. And one of the main things, I think, themes that we have had when it comes to New Year's resolutions is, you know, not giving up and keep fighting. You might have speed bumps. Maybe you got to start over. Maybe you got to reset a little bit, but doesn't mean that you need to completely give up or stop or anything. And then we say all this, and then there are some things where maybe you should quit. Maybe. There is something to knowing, okay, hey, this isn't going to work, or hey, this isn't for me, or something like that.
You just pick something stupid for a reaction?
Yeah, could be that too. The second Friday in January is when people are most likely to throw in the towel on their New Year's resolutions. We actually talked about this a little bit on the Sunrise Show on 105.5 with our National Day of Calendar. This is actually called Quitter's Day. But here are three times when it might actually make sense to give up on your goal, or at least to reassess. I think that's a good way to put it. I think reassessing is a good one. Number one, when you're motivated by the wrong reasons. I think this hits on a little bit of what you were just saying. Sometimes we pursue a goal just to prove other people wrong or soothe our own fear of failure. But when a goal doesn't align with your core values and needs, it's hard to stay motivated.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in life that will double down. They do something and they say something and it's wrong or what have you.
They're not going back.
And instead of just owning it or owning the mistake, like every human being does in life, we all make mistakes. No, I'm doubling down. The sky is not green. Yes, it is. It was yesterday. I mean, you know, just the silliness of this happens all the time.
Or you're in an environment where whatever, maybe you're at a party or something and everyone is rattling off what their New Year's resolution is. Mm-hmm. So then you're like, quick, come up with something instead of just being like, yeah, I don't do that.
This is maybe a harsh example, but it's one that I think he would want me to share and everything. My father struggled with addiction his whole life, and I don't know another human being how the way he loves my mom and everything, the way he loves my brother and sister and I and stuff. I've never seen somebody love something the way he does, and still had to fight and fight and fight. And no matter how hard he tried, whether it was for us or not, it never happened. Eventually, he realized he had to do it for himself first, and then it kicked in.
And then it works.
Any resolution is like this. Any type of thing you're trying to do, you can have all the good intentions in the world for doing it for your loved ones, but you got to start with yourself. It's got to be in part for you to be able to make it really happen. So to the point of, you know, doing this to prove people wrong or to soothe your own fears, I don't know that necessarily that's the greatest start.
Well, and I think, you know, it's been proof. There's been plenty of opposite side, you know, of this, proven that New Year's resolutions are not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, just set your mind to something. You don't have to, first, don't wait till January, mm-hmm. right? If you decided in May, don't be like, oh, yes. In January, yes. I'm going to do this. You know, and it's just maybe not an appropriate time because of whatever, the visibility, the pressure, the mm-hmm. whatever. So today you can quit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. I will say another thing really quick about this. I think the word quit, even if you're okay with quitting, quote unquote quitting, that word has such a negative
tone. Yeah, it implies to negative.
I use the word stop. Now, I am splitting hairs here. There is virtually no difference. I understand how silly it might sound to some people, but I was trying to, I really didn't have a lot of problems with addictions or anything, considering my father and stuff and what I was born with in my veins. But I did have trouble with nicotine for a while. And the thing that got me to stop smoking cigarettes was I didn't try to quit them. I stopped them. And getting the word quit out of my brain and just stop is a big part of what did it for me. I understand how crazy and silly that sounds, but again, it's me.
But whatever,
so it shouldn't be that surprising.
I mean, but whatever works right for individuals. Yeah. See, and I think quit is fine. I do agree it has maybe a negative connotation because we think instantly of like whatever, quitting a job or quitting a. But I think is if you put the context there, right? Like I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit
it's
this,
a different
or, you know,
story.
So.
Yeah. Number two on this list, when your goal no longer resonates with you. Maybe climbing the corporate ladder was important to you in your 20s and 30s, but then in your 40s, you found that spending time with your family was more important to you or something.
But, you know, what? Okay. In this case, today's the 10th. So in 10 days, how does your goal not resonate with you anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it was your goal 10 days ago, I don't know what revelation you might have had in 10 days.
So part of what they're trying to get to, it looks like in here, is the quote, scoring a promotion at work or some of those things that may seem like a good idea at the time when you're making this resolution, but as you get into it and you're involved in it, may not seem that as important.
Or it's just not something that you put a time window. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like you have,
yes.
You might have a goal, right? I'd like to be promoted within 2 years or something,
yeah.
But 10 days is a little bit, I mean, that's a lofty goal.
Yeah, yeah. Really reaching for the stars, man. If reaching for your goals, for your goal has exhausted your resources, our capacity for sustaining effort isn't infinite, and pursuing our goals can lead to burnout. By learning to let go of resolutions that feel exhausting or impossible, you free up space to set up more realistic and achievable goals.
Makes sense. And I think the other thing that was a part of that, the first part of that statement was exhausting resources. So there's that part too, right? Like, what if you took on a resolution that was... is like literally draining your savings account. Well, maybe it's not a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people, now this isn't just a goal of mine, it's a lifestyle of mine, but I do this, I've been doing this my whole life. My goal is to be on Saturday Night Live. My goal is to be in feature films working with big time actors and getting better as an actor. But that ain't going to happen today. That's probably not going to happen in the next hour. It's probably not even going to happen in the next 10 days. So what can I do in the meantime? Have other goals, like I want to learn this monologue by the end of the week. I want to learn this accent by the end of the week so that I am prepared when that moment happens to jump in the game, take the ball, and run with it. There are ways you can do these things. There are ways that, and I think that there are also ways that you can, by achieving those, you know, mini goals, if you will, or whatever, again, you pile up those wins in life, and we just don't do that enough. Take the wins, take those little victories, and let them mean something. Let them hit your soul and feel good and build from that. When you do those things, I think you'd be surprised what you can accomplish in life. I think you'd be stunned by what resolutions you can make happen and what ones don't maybe mean as much.
Or if it was just silly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This sounds pretty weighty and lofty, but what if it was like to eat a whole, I don't know, container of Chips Ahoy every day? I would be barfing. But you know what I mean? Like, at some point, enough. A jar of glitter pickles.
Yeah, right. Because I do think that's another one. I'm glad you said
that. You know, like
the
silly ones.
Yes. There are ones that are silly or they were just in the moment. You know, let's be honest. A lot of these resolutions happen on New Year's Eve and you've been having a couple and you're with friends and maybe, you know, something seemed good at. Like, we've all had the 2 o'clock in the morning good idea, quote unquote good idea. And then at 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, you're like, what was I thinking? Mittens for cats? What is this?
Wearing the same socks for a month?
Kitten mittens? Wait a minute. What was I doing? Yeah. I think those are all important. Also important is buying local, supporting local, supporting those that support our community, and certainly support us here at the radio station. I want to remind everybody, our great friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Visitors Bureau have their guides out. They just got them out. We got a copy right here. Terry and I have been looking at it all morning. It's awesome.
It's really nice. Did a great job.
Yeah, they did a really good job on those. Be sure to stop over by the Wisconsin Rapids Area Visitors Bureau and pick one up. Encourage you to do so. You could do that during regular business hours from 9 to 4. Stop on over there and check that out and find out more at visitwisrapids.com. Visitwisrapids.com. And we'll be talking about this a lot leading up until February, but I wanted to throw it out there, let people know, because you only have until the end of the month to be a part of this. Valentine's for Wisconsin Veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is asking for folks to help us show our veterans how much we appreciate their service and sacrifice by sending Valentine's Day cards to veterans living in WDVA facilities. The Valentines are hand-delivered by staff, including Secretary Bond, to the veterans, loved ones, the Gold Star families residing in our veteran facilities. You can please be sure to mail your cards no later than January 31st, so you got to the end of the month. And you can mail them to Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Attention Veteran Valentines. Attention Veteran Valentines. P.O. Box 7843, P.O. Box 7843, Madison, Wisconsin, zip code 53707. That's 53707. If you need this information, please email me or call our station and we'll get this info to you.
And I don't know if it hit your, I didn't get a chance to look through the newsletter yesterday, but even if, you know, Melissa or whoever could get it next week's newsletter too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because then people can just reference that address. Because sometimes it's hard to process that when you're just listening. But that is a super cool program.
It's so cool. It's such a great
program. I love
it. Yeah. And they've been doing this for a couple of years. And we love talking about it. Tom will be with us next month. And I'm sure I'll remind people by the time he's with us again, the deadline will wrap up. So we'll be mentioning it almost every day.
If you're part of a civic group or, you know, you lead some kids, maybe you're a teacher or a, you know, Sunday something, you know, like it could be a group project too.
Yeah,
so that's really cool.
4-H, Scouts, any of those organizations,
or even
being a
book
part
club
of this.
I mean, yes, it could be adults. Yes. Right, like I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, we are on the, you know, I know it's been a little bit, but we're on the same page, Terry, because I feel for you.
Does everybody know how scary that is for me?
It's really scary for you. It's very, but I'm glad you mentioned the adults doing this too.
Yeah.
I focus a lot on the kids, but that is important too. Adults getting in on this and showing their support and their appreciation.
Very cool.
We'll take a time out, check in with our news and sports and our partners. We'll come back and we're talking decluttering, less clutter, all that coming up on the morning show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The man wanted for triple homicide is in police custody. The Juneau County Sheriff's Office says that the missing and wanted man, Virgil Thu, has been caught and is behind bars. Just before noon yesterday, there was an increased police presence in the city of Elroy. It's where they found Thu and took him into custody without incident. He is charged in the December deaths of 3 people, including his girlfriend, 33-year-old Elizabeth Colba, and 2 girls in his care. And it's been a problem educators have been warning about. Now, a state agency is adding some data. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the baby boom generation. While some counties like Dane are expected to grow, others, particularly in the northern part of the state, could see population declines of 15% or more. That could potentially add on to workforce shortages and create problems for those setting school budgets.
And Wisconsin-based Kohl's is set to close some of their stores, with 27 underperforming locations impacted by the decision. The closures are scheduled to happen by April, and none of the affected stores are located in Wisconsin or Minnesota.
and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting an increase in gray wolf depredations on livestock in 2024. According to DNR data, 2024 saw 84 cases of confirmed or probable wolf depredations on livestock, up from 69 in 2023 and 49 in 2022. DNR officials also reported an increase in the number of wolf harassment complaints from residents. Managing the gray wolf population in the state has become a controversial topic, with lawmakers at odds over whether there should be a set wolf population goal or not. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
Is Jordan Love ready? I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Quarterback Jordan Love dealing with an elbow injury suffered during the Bears game that left his throwing hand numb for a few days. It's still bothering him throwing in practice.
Yeah, it's more my elbow, covering that.
Soreness?
Yes.
So how did he look yesterday? Could he run the offense? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, he looked fine. He looked good.
Game time Sunday at 3:30. We'll have reports from Philly. NBA, the Bucks in Orlando tonight against the Magic. In Madison, the Badgers host Minnesota. Baseball, the Brewers reaching agreements with five players, including pitchers Aaron Civale, Yoel Piamps, and last year's closer Trevor McGill.
This is my favorite town. Okay. Favorite stadium and everything. Yeah, I really love this place. You know, it's baseball in Milwaukee, and these fans show up every day for us, and, you know, you can feel it.
They could not reach a deal with catcher William Contreras, who is headed to arbitration. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Kick off the new year with a style that's all your own. Stand out and set the trend with Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated. Design custom sports apparel that showcases your unique flair. When you feel good, you perform better.
Wisconsin women's basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
Keeping that 80s theme going. Gotta have some Lionel Richie. Terry and James here with you. It threw me off, too. It threw me off.
I was like, wait a minute, what? Deja vu.
Something about a slow song to introduce, it just throws you a little bit. Throws. Terry and I, we've been talking a lot about New Year's and New Year's resolutions. And along with resolutions, one of the things that I think you noted that I kind of skated past but I wanted to get back to was the idea that you don't have to set a resolution, but you still have goals. And the idea of when you do this, Now, my brain, the way it works, I like to do things at the start of the month or the start of the week. So for me, stopping something at the beginning of the year, I do it, but it has nothing to do with resolutions. It's just the way my brain works, and I like to start things at the beginning of the month or that kind of thing. And to start off on the beginning of the month and the beginning of a brand new year just seems to make a lot of sense in my brain, logically. I'm not saying it makes sense to anybody else, but to me it does. And one of the things that I know that has been a big deal in my parents' house for really as long as I can remember is decluttering on the beginning of the year and getting rid of some stuff and keeping some things. My mom's always done this, and it's winter. So
I can't do
indoors.
It then because my Christmas stuff is still up.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like once I pull down Christmas and my winter decorations, then I'll do like a deeper spring clean, which sometimes involves decluttering. Hmm. Sometimes it doesn't.
If you're aiming for a less cluttered home this year, you're not alone. Two-thirds of us think starting the year out clutter-free is a key, and a third of us are making it a top priority right now. Realistically, though, you might have the same goal in 2026. People were asked how long they think they'll stick with it, and the average answer was 38 days. That's about it.
So here's my question on this. Are people decluttering by moving crap from their house to their storage unit, or are they actually like getting rid of it?
Yeah.
You look at the number of storage containers, I'm always like, what is in all of these?
It's insane.
But, you know, take your stuff somewhere where someone could use it.
Yeah.
Take it to Goodwill, take it to the dime store, take it. Like, that's kind of my thing. Now, I could do plenty of decluttering. And I do have things like some home decor things, or maybe some really small furniture piece, you know, like a little side table or something that I might not have in my living room right now, but I still keep it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put it downstairs because someday I might bring it back up.
Yep, yep.
But just in general, like, I think if you're truly decluttering, you actually have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Not move it.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah. That means by February 8th, most of us will be back into socks on the floor and dishes in the sink, or maybe some of those buying knickknacks or extra things that you might not need or what have you. 59% said that they probably won't even last that long. 42% said a messy home makes them feel overwhelmed. 37% said that it makes them irritable. 34% said unfocused. And the average person said it would take 20 hours to really get their place in good shape right now.
That's what I was going to say. I agree. Like, I can handle messy to some degree. I can't handle dirty. You know, to me, there's a difference, right? Like, some stuff sitting around is different than not being clean.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, sometimes the idea of the 20 hours or 25 hours that it would take to get it decluttered is more overwhelming than just looking at the mess.
Yeah. It's completely understandable. I don't share this because I like to be honest. I share it because it does add to the story, and I do think it can be helpful. I've been one of those people my whole life. I've been pretty hypocritical about therapy. I'm very encouraging for people that want to do it, but for myself, oh no, I ain't doing that. Like, I'm not trusting somebody with my secrets. I'm not trusting somebody with my inner thoughts or anything. But I, after decades of my mother beating me over the head with this, I finally gave it a shot. And I'm really glad I did for a number of reasons. One, it's really unique to be able to talk to somebody who is not trying to tell you what to do or give you advice, or just a third party, just taking info. You're just venting. You're just talking to them. I haven't had a lot of that in my life, and I thought that that was very useful. But the other part was, for me, it's almost like taking my brain, putting it on the table, and we're both dissecting. We're both just taking a look at this. And I'm learning and finding out more things about not just myself, but the human brain. And one of the things that the human brain has looked for since the caveman days is basically unclutter, to have things in order. Our brains work better that way. So regardless if you think you enjoy a messy room or not, your brain is going to be irritable with clutter. Your brain is going to be a little more irritable with some of these things. So I don't a whole deep clean and declutter or whatever, yeah, that's going to take a while and stuff. I do think, though, what room do you spend a lot of time in, or what room would it really benefit you, that even if that's just the only room in the house or the apartment, that room's clean.